Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining me today. I have an extra special guest, but before I bring her on, I want to share a little bit about her. My wonderful friend Kirstie Manna had a 5-week Billboard number one smash hit called Austin, and it introduced Blake Shelton to our country radio. She's a Nashville-based songwriter, publisher, producer, and actress with numerous credits that include creating and starring in her own national TV show, Kirstie's Manna, that was viewed by 34 million homes. She's also the co-writer and co-publisher for Big and Rich's rockin' hit, Loud, on Warner Brothers in Nashville, and then artists such as Gretchen Wilson and Colt Prather, Cowboy Crush, and many others have recorded Kirstie's songs. She's recently finished writing and producing a debut CD, Sopo, for our girl group iCandy. And we're going to listen to her share a little bit more about that creation of that group because it's an awesome story. Her current venture, current venture songwriter girl, is on online letter video blog as well as an all-girl event called Songwriter Girls Camp. It brings girls together of all ages to be inspired and focus on learning more about writing better songs, gaining confidence as writers and performers, and arming the attendees with the tools needed to work in the music industry. Kirstie's songs have been heard around the world, such on in places such as CMT, ESPN, The Tonight Show, The David Letterman Show, Friday Night Lights, and Dance Wars. And rarely does one find a true Renaissance artist, someone whose talent transcends a single genre. Kirstie possesses a versatility found in a few artists, and she's a professional speaker, accomplished actress, writer, producer, singer, songwriter, pianist, as well as a multifaceted entertainer. As a motivational performer, she connects with her audiences through her infectious energy, enthusiasm, her quick wit, and spontaneity. Kirstie's currently writing the music for Every Heart and the Peace Dragon musical. I've known Kirstie for over 20-plus years, and all I can tell you is that she has huge passion, a big heart in life to see other people's dreams come true and also be true to their craft and art. So without further ado, Kirstie, are you there, honey?
Hello. Thank you for that wonderful intro.
There's multi-faceted layers for that. You wear many hats.
Yes, I do.
Yes, on and off the industry.
It can be exhausting sometimes, but I trust this one.
Well, and your body is probably perfectly normal.
Exactly. For me, it's normal.
In mine, I probably have to take a little bit more breaks.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Well, how are you? How is everything going?
I'm doing good. I'm in my last few days before Songwriter Girl Camp, so I'm always, you know, in a real preparation mode, and you know, we have everything ready, but I always go over my presentations and meditate on what I want to do that day and how I want it to all, you know, play out, visualize it and all that kind of thing. So, and of course, you know, you have to get your clothes ready and pack your toiletries because you don't want to get up there without brushing your teeth at least once in the day, that kind of stuff.
That's right.
You know, real glamorous stuff like that.
Yes, the hygiene stuff is always important.
Yeah, but we're excited. We have a lot of people signed up, and, you know, I think there's going to be more people coming to the door that morning, so it's cool.
Well, I love it, and I want to, as we go along, I want to share a little bit more specifically about that because I had attended the first one, and it was so inspiring. But, you know, the one thing I know about you is, you know, we talk about on this particular show about universal laws of attraction and manifestation and about the inner creates the outer. And so I just want to give our listening friends a bit of your background about how some of this, where it started, and then we can kind of share about how each piece of that kind of was attracted into your life. So can you take us back in time?
Well, you need some of that music.
Yeah.
Anyway,
exactly.
Well, I came from Poland, Ohio, which is by Youngstown, and always was involved in musical theater as a kid. And my mom entered me in a songwriting contest when I was 16 to write a patriotic song. My mother's very patriotic, and I am as well. And so I wrote this song called "Give a Salute to Uncle Sam," and I won. So that was you know, my first introduction into songwriting. And then I really didn't get into it again until my early 20s when I got through music school and moved to Nashville. By that time, I was married to Bill Warner, and you need to check his site out if you don't know who he is. He has a site, warnerworks.net, and he's a producer engineer here in Nashville, and we have a production company together called Warner Works. So
yeah,
we moved down here, and we got hired as a songwriting team, and we wrote together for a while for this company. Excuse me. And then Bill got a gig with Reba McEntire's publishing company to engineer, and so I was kind of then, you know, on my own in a sense, because the writing thing kind of waned for us at that point. And so I just got interested in becoming a better keyboard player and singer. And at and that time, we were still playing gigs. We had a duo and did a lot of jazz music and that kind of stuff, which is what we did in college. I'm really skipping over a lot, but I'm just trying to be quick about it. Anyway.
Okay.
And,
just slow. You're cool.
And so, so, you know, and all this time I was writing, and then I got a job with an artist named Joylynn White, and she was at that time on Columbia Records. And so I was out on the road with her for a couple years as keyboard backup singer and then also as road manager, too. So that was a great experience. And then when I left her group, I came back to town, and I mean, I was coming back to town, but I came back to Nashville, you know, I was there all the time. And that's when I really put my nose down about writing. And I always want to stress to people that it's, you know, it's really wonderful to have a dream, but behind that dream, you have to have a plan for the dream, because you have to eat and you have to function in your life. And so our plan was that Bill was going to, you know, make the money basically, and I wouldn't have to worry about getting a job. And that was a great luxury. And there are a lot of writers that are married that have that kind of a situation. And it's a wonderful thing if you can partner with somebody in that way in your relationship and they really get you. So anyway, so I put my nose down, really started writing. And all this time, you know, I'm still working as an actor and had the opportunity to do my kids' TV show, which is called Kirstie's Manor. And it was on a Christian cable network that wanted secular programming for children. And so that's how I lucked into that. And it was a great experience. It was a great writing experience because I wrote the shows and the outlines and all the music for the shows. And then I got to improv a lot. And so that was really a blast as an actor. And then Valerie also worked on that.
Yeah, I had fun. That was when Sharon was really long. Yeah,
yeah, props person. And so then, you know, I did that. And I also started studying acting with a really great coach named Tom Capps. And some of the required reading for his master class was Deepak Chopra, creative visualization, and one of my favorite books of all time, The Artist's Way, by Julia Cameron. And that book really changed my artistic life. And one of the first times I picked him up at the airport and we were eating dinner before a class, he said to me, "What do you want to do with your art?" And I said, "I want to move people." And he said, "Well, I can take you to the next level." And I didn't know what he meant. I thought he meant as an actor. And at that moment, he very well have meant that. But in the end, for me, it was just about being an overall artist. And so another thing I will say, number one, have the plan behind the dream. And number two, you know, be willing to learn more about yourself as an artist and be really be willing to grow. And so a lot of people, when they reach a certain level, you know, I think they kind of forget about that kind of stuff. But that book is an amazing book, and if you don't have it, you should get it. But it's really interesting the way it, you know, it takes you through your past life and how you look at things about your life and about yourself as an artist. It really teaches you a lot. So anyway, and in that whole period, I wrote Austin, and then it was recorded by Blake Shelton, and then that kind of changed my musical life, changes a lot of things in your career when you have a number one record, and then you really have credibility. Although the day before it happens, you know, you were the same person, but it's just the way the world validates, you know, artists, I think, is by commercial success. So that was a cool thing.
Well, it ran 5 weeks at number one back in 2001, and we're going to play a little bit of that today, but I think that was one of the things that you were talking about. You know, Kirsty, you share just all these little synchronicities that showed up, but I know that you had a vision board, and you put things on that vision board, you know, a piano and different things, and I kind of want to share about, kind of take us in the direction of, you know, right before that happened, there were some other things, and a lot of writers or creative people, you know, it's kind of like you almost have to let go. And I remember there was a time we were working really hard, and then all of a sudden there was that piece of letting go. Can you kind of share that? Because I think it happened right before Austin, like almost like Austin showed up in its little idiosyncratic, you know, mystic way. But share that time in your life, because I think it was really important to, you know, how people, you know, they want so much to birth things, but then sometimes you just to be able to surrender. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I mean, I really don't know if there is such a thing as making things happen. I mean, I think that, you know, you can sit around and dream, but you have to take action with that. You have to, you know, and Tom Capps, and he's not the only one in my life, but he was a big proponent of making your goals. And one of the things that he did was he had us make goals, 3 goals for each of these categories, for the day, for the week, for the month, for 6 months, for a year, and for your life. And then you had to define how you were going to make that goal happen. And so in his class, you know, he would say, you know, draw a picture of a goal. And maybe somebody would have a picture of they're receiving an Academy Award. And you'd say, well, that's a great goal, but, you know, there's a lot of stuff that has to happen to reach that, which is very true. You know, it's not like you just win an Academy Award. It's the same way with a baseball player who wins the World Series. I mean, he's got to be an excellent athlete and then get, you know, picked to play on a major league team and, you know, not get injured and make it through all that, stay healthy, be on a team that wins, then go to the playoffs, you know, you get my drift. So
yeah,
it's the same thing with that about anything in life. And I remember the day that I got the call about Austin, I was in Los Angeles, and a friend of mine was driving me to the airport, and I was kind of not knowing what to do about my writing because, you know, it can be hard as a writer. You write and write and write, and you see other people around you having, again, the commercial success, and you just are, you know, wondering when is it your time. And so I get this phone call that this guy named Blake Shelton wanted to cut Austin, and I said, well, yeah, it's cool, you know, because when the song has never been released before, they have to clear it with the publishers because it's something called right of first refusal. So we could have refused him cutting the song, but we said, well, no, we know he's a great singer, and I thought, you know, I'll make a little bit of money off of it, and you know, that's cool. It's a cut, you know, and it's always great to get a cut because as a writer, you know, one of your agendas in life is to get cuts, you know. Well, then after you have a single as a writer, then your agenda is to get singles because you see the value of a single and all the revenue streams it can create. And but at that time, I just felt like that was a, you know, really good thing. And I don't really know exactly when in my life I decided to really give it up on the let go thing, but I for me it was more about of a losing the fear thing. You know, I mean you can be one person to a lot of other people, but when you are alone looking in the mirror and who you see yourself as can definitely be two different things, and I'm sure that most of the people listening to this today would completely agree with that. And so so for me, it was just about letting go of the fear, you know. And it was sometime in that period of my life that happened, because Austin really didn't take that long. It didn't take that long for it to get cut after it was written. You know, it wasn't like we had it for 8 years or something, which was really fortunate. But I just think that the stars were, if you believe in that, were all completely aligned, you know, for it to happen at that moment. And I wasn't even thinking about anything like that when it happened. And certainly, I mean, even to this day, to think about the fact that the song sat at number one for that long, and it's, you know, it's considered a country classic and all that kind of stuff. And I was thinking about this yesterday. I was watching an interview with David Cassidy, who I loved as a kid on The Partridge Family. And he was talking about that he still loves singing I Think I Love You, which was a huge hit for them, and how much joy it brings to people. And I mean, I feel that way about Austin. You know, I every time I play that song somewhere, somebody comes up and says, oh, that makes me cry. Or, you know, and it always cracks me up when guys say that this is the only song that's ever made me cry, and I think that's so cool. And so, you know, I'm eternally grateful to what the song did in commercially, you know, and it broke Blake Shelton as an artist, and it was a career record for him, and, you know, so there was a lot of really good things to that song.
There was a lot of serendipity, I think, to that song, too, because I just remember, you know, knowing you for over 24 years, it was great to see. You know, you've always been a creative genius about writing. I mean, I've always felt that way, not just because you're my friend, but, you know, being a writer, in inspirational writer in words, I always love the way things fit and that your writing moves people. So I want to just stop right here, and we're going to play Austin.
Oh, cool.
Because I always feel like every time I hear it, I tear up too. So we'll just sit back, everybody relax, and we're going to play the song Austin. Co-written by Kirstie and, I believe, David Kemp?
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you.
She left without leaving a number. Said she needed to clear her mind. She figured she'd gone back to Austin, 'cause she talked about it all the time. It was almost a year before she called him up. Three rings and an answering machine is what she got. If you're calling about the car I sold it, if this is Tuesday night, I'm bowling. If you've got something to sell, you're wasting your time. I'm not fine. If it's anybody else, wait for the tone. You know what to do. And P.S., if this is Austin, I still love you. The telephone fell to the counter. She heard, but she couldn't believe what kind of man would hang on that long. What kind of love that must be. She waited 3 days, and then she tried again. Didn't know what she'd say, but she heard three rings, and then, if it's Friday night, I'm at the ball game, and first thing Saturday, if it don't rain, I'm heading up to the lake, and I'll be gone all weekend long. But I'll call you up when I get home on Sunday afternoon. And P.S., if this is
Wow. Kirsty, I just still love that song.
Thank you.
I think it stirs up. And I love hearing you play. I know Blake Shelton was one of his songs that introduced him to the charts and stuff. But I have to tell you, I love the way that you sing it as well. So it just is such a romantic, beautiful melody.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. You're welcome. So, you know, one of the things that, I mean, you wear multi hats and not just as a creative, a writer and a producer and you own your own publishing as well. But share a little bit, let's take a little bit of a turn because I wanted to talk about another avenue that you took, and you took this a while ago. And we'll move into a couple little things that you do. You have some, you were talking about Kirsty's Manor, but you have another character, and I want to introduce her a little bit because she's fun, and her name is Tina Ticolini.
Yes, my alter ego.
And you have a couple of things that are really connected to children, and I want to share that if you go to Tina Ticolini, that's TinaTicolini-ini.com, that you can check out Kirsty's magical adventures with her. But share a little bit about this character and how much fun you've had.
Well, Tina Ticolini came to be because at the time I was doing artist outreach for the then Cumberland Science Museum here in Nashville, and it's a children's museum. And now it's called Adventures in Discovery, and if you ever come through Nashville, it's a great place to take kids or the kid in you. You should go. And I was doing different work for them there. I taught outreach, and we used live animals and snakes and all that fun kind of stuff. And they found out that I had co-written with Cheryl Hutton this project, songs about how your body works. And so they asked me if I would start doing artist outreach. So I said, okay, and so I went out to do a festival, and they wanted me to dress up as this character called Miss Frizzle, which was part of the Magic School Bus series on PBS. And I dressed up in this character, and these kids about pulled me on the ground. They were so excited. They thought I was her. And I thought, well, I need to come up with a character for my music. So I came up with Tina Ticolini, and I'm part Italian, and so I liked the alliteration of Tina Ticolini, and then Eni because, you know, I'm Italian, and then a tickle because there's a song about you can't tickle yourself. So that's how the character came to be, and you can check her out at as Valerie said, TinaTicolini.com, and the music's all about how your body works, and now we have a line of products that includes multilingual music. You know, it's the same music, but it's in English, Spanish, and French. And we also have a DVD. So it's really a lot of fun. But I portrayed Tina Ticolini on Kirsty's Manor, and then I did a spinoff of Tina when I did a DVD, which was just Tina Ticolini Gets Giggles and Goosebumps. So anyway, but Tina is a lot of fun. And again, as an actor, you know, it's just really, it's great to really be able to let go. And she's very zany. And so, you know, you can hide behind all that. So that's really fun.
I know. And you and then like 2 or 3 years ago, I mean, this project's been out for a while. So
yeah.
Anybody who has children, ranging from the ages of, I'd say, probably about 3 to, I'd say probably about 3rd or 4th grade, there's a lot of cool insights on that. So Tina Ticolini
yeah.
can entertain them in the car, coloring, all sorts of products and stuff with Tina. So check that out. But you also took and started a group, and you and Bill became, I believe, producers of this particular group called Eye Candy. So
right.
share a little bit about that, because that was really cool, and I love the energy, especially since they're a whole different generation that you're writing songs with.
Well, we do produce Eye Candy, and our partner in that is Donna Ehrlich, and she has a really wonderful talent conference twice a year called ATS, American Talent Showcase. We always wanted to do something together, and so we decided to put together this girl group, and the music is pop. You know, I'm going to use the word tweener, but it's, and I don't want to make it sound like it's just for little girls or something, but you know, it's nice kind of family oriented pop music for kids. And so there are 4 girls in the group, and we're going to be actually recording some new music next week after Songwriter Girl Camp, and we're looking forward to that. And so you can find them on MySpace. They're called Eye Candy, I-C-A-N-D-E. And it was just a really cool experience to be able to write that kind of music. I'd never done that, and so I'm like to challenge myself, and so I just decided I was going to write that music, so I buried my head in a lot of pop music and just saw what I could come up with, and we had a really good time doing it. So
well, I had a really good time listening to them.
Thank you.
And, you know, some of the songs that you played with them, they're very energetic. Well, you
yeah.
know, one of the things I know about you is how much integrity you have for the music industry and your passion to empower others in such a way as to have as much success as you're experiencing. And so your current, which is coming up actually this weekend, your current
yes.
adventure called Songwriter Girls Camp.
Yes.
Can you share more about that? And then I'm going to put the link in our chat room as well as share that link.
Sure, that's great. Yeah, I was at an internet marketing seminar a couple years ago, and the guy that invited Bill and I there had recorded some of my songs, and he really had made all his money from being an internet marketer, but he was interested in country music. And so ended up sitting at lunch at a table with all men, and Bill and me and all these guys. And they were all internet marketers, and one of the guys said, so, you know, how do you make money as a songwriter? And I launched into the whole thing of how it works. And he said, well, if I had any hits, I would probably do something on the internet. And I thought, what does that mean? I have no idea. Do something on the internet. I had no clue. Well, later that day, this woman got up to speak. Her name was Allie Brown. And she had become successful by selling products by publishing newsletters. And I thought, well, heck, I always wanted to be Carrie Bradshaw. I can write a newsletter. So I started publishing a newsletter, and I thought, well, all these people have monikers, and I've got to call myself something. And I thought, well, I'm a songwriter, and I'm always going to view myself as a girl, so I'm going to call myself Songwriter Girl. So that's how that started. And I also have my own Blog Talk radio show as well, and I interview people in the music industry and writers and producers and that kind of thing. And then I decided that I wanted to hold my own event, because I'd been at so many different talent events, but I never really thought there was anything that was just for women or just for girls. And so I just, in my usual way, just decide I want to do something.
Start doing it. Another thing, right?
Yeah, and so I decided to start holding these events, and my first event was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, because two of my friends that were marketing guys, they were able to hook me up with a venue at a college up there at Robert Morris University. So that's why we had it there. And since then, I've done Songwriter Girl camps and workshops in Germany and here in Nashville, and I'm going to do I do stage performance songwriting workshops, and I have some of those coming up in Alaska and Los Angeles and Hilton Head this spring.
My blog talk's going off. Do you have a is that like on your link? Is that on your link, Kirsty? On Kirsty.com, KIRSTI.com. Are you sharing that information on your
there? And also, the best place to see about Songwriter Girl is to go to songwritergirl.com, all one word, songwritergirl.com. And the camp, the camp I'm having this weekend is a 1-day camp, and I'm going to have another camp here in Nashville, July 10th. And I say it's for girls of all ages, and it literally is. I mean, I have girls that are 9 years old that come to camp and ladies that are 60 years old that are at the same camp. And one of my missions is to really connect girls of all ages together and really teach them to be team players, because I personally believe that women are not good team players and don't really support each other the way they need to in the industry. And women certainly have had a go of it in the industry. And so it's an opportunity for me to share that philosophy. And we co-write at camp, and I bring different speakers in, like from NSAI, and I have industry pros that come, and we do a panel. And when I do a weekend camp, then all of those elements of camp are just, they're just longer because we have more time. So in July, I'm thinking of having a weekend camp and offering a weekend, or if you just want to come for 1 day, you can come to just 1 day. But if anybody is out there listening, we're still taking campers at this time, and you can just sign up at the website, or you can come to the door, and we're holding camp in Nashville on Music Row at Skerritt Bennett Campus and in Fondren Hall. You can get all that information at songwritergirl.com.
Yeah, and I loved it because, one of the things, I was at your first one, and I have to say, not only was it inspiring, but the fact that the mentors in the industry came and they talked, and you actually taught real life experiences and transitions, and you also taught information that not everybody gives from the industry insights and different tools and techniques that, a lot of people that are up and coming, they don't really realize. And then
right.
You work on them. They actually have experiences on, being able to be on the stage and work with stage performance and cues, choreography, different things like that. So it's not just a camp where you're writing songs. It's a range of experiences and like little breakout sessions and information that people can learn the ins and outs of writing and, ways to take their songs, number one. And so I just really, really appreciate that you are doing this not only for women and girls, but, even if you're just writing or you're coming out and you may not want to take your song to number one, the confidence level, raising your confidence, this is something that you can learn at camp as well, is to be able to take your confidence level and anything that you want to be on stage up to the next level too. And it's an
right.
experience. These girls were transformed in ways that they'll never forget. In fact, one little girl, the very first camp, she ended up singing on the way out of town at an airport, little lounge area. And
right,
her mom said she would have never
airport,
done
yeah.
that. So it was just beautiful. And then you did give a contest away.
Yeah.
that you're working with Daisy Rock Guitars. They helped sponsor that event, and the little girl that won that guitar was just so excited that she was able to win that. So that was really powerful.
They have been my sponsor from the very first camp, and of course it's a female owned company, and so they're really into the mission. You know, we share some of the same mission in the music business, and I also have sponsors like Levy's Leathers now, and they're one of the biggest guitar strap makers in North America, in the world, I think. And so they came on board through Daisy Rock, which is cool. And then I have sponsors that are in Nashville, you know, publishers that do song critiques and that kind of stuff. So it's really cool. But I always end my camps now with my Lose the Fear ceremony, and where you get to throw your fear into the fire. So that's always really cool for me, and I think it's always a really bonding moment for campers, you know, to get to do something like that, because a lot of people don't really know how to even give themselves permission to say what they want or don't want, you know, to continue in their own life. And so it's cool that they come to camp and they feel safe enough in that environment to do that.
And they also learn teamwork with the co-writing, don't they? Like, you know, writing songs and stuff, they're able to learn and see another point of view or perspective from another writer, which is always really great.
Right. And a lot of people have never co-written before. You know, and they come to camp, and that whole experience is something completely foreign to them and new, because they never really get to do it. Because a lot of people don't know how to find each other. You know, I mean, we're really fortunate in Nashville to be, you know, to be in the thick of all these writers. You know, we can meet writers, you bump into them in the dark, you know. But most people that are just out there trying to sling it away on their own, they don't really know how to go about that. So that's one thing that's, I think, really unique that we do. And the fact that it's all women.
Yeah.
I mean, I've really never seen anything like that before. So anyway.
Well, we have one of our chat rooms. Yeah, we want to give out our chat room to our chat room listeners. Thanks for coming on, and Kim and Otutu. And she was sharing that her oldest daughter may be interested in something like this. So
cool.
Definitely check out songwritergirl.com, because Kirsty offers a powerful environment, very safe, very family-like atmosphere. And they get a chance to crow and play Peter Pan on stage and collaborate and create all sorts of cool things. And as she was sharing, letting go of some of that fear, because, you know, it's a little nervy to be out on stage, and you got people out in the audience, and you want to be able to connect to them, and you've got all this passionate stuff you want to express from the stage, you know. And Kirsty's always, I think she came out of the womb singing or writing music. So that's not one of, you know, that's not one of her, that would definitely not be one of her challenges, but.
No. And also, you know, anybody that's listening, you can also sign up for my free newsletter, which I publish twice a month. And all that information is right there on the website at songwritergirl.com. But the newsletter gives a lot of information about the music business, and I really share a lot of my philosophy, just, you know, as a writer, because I'm still an active writer. I still write, you know, 2 or 3 days a week, co-write, and I have a single out with an artist named Bridget Tatum. This is somebody else you need to check out. She is one of the writers on the big hit She's Country by Jason Aldean, and she's released I Like My Cowboys Dirty, which I'm a writer on. So you need to check Bridget Tatum out as well. She's a great artist and a dear, dear friend and soul sister. And we are actually in we're actually in a group together called the Nashville Songbirds. And you can check us out at MySpace. And we do shows in and around Nashville. And we are doing some shows in the Bradenton, Florida area the weekend of March 18th. So if anybody wants information about any of that, you can email me at info@songwritergirl.com, and I'll be happy to hook you up. I love
That's
to hook
awesome.
People up.
Yes, you do. I have to tell you, Christy doesn't know strangers. We go in restaurants together and, you know, anywhere we go and people just, I mean, within minutes, she's created new friendships. And, you know, not only is she generous in you know, connecting and listening to other people, but she really, really supports, has such a big heart on offering information to people and offering her time and energy to kind of connect with them. So, that's just been such a beautiful spirit that you've always engendered because you believe what goes around comes around. And yeah. I so appreciate that. Oh, my gosh, we're almost, you know, we're coming down to the wire, girl. Man, this is pretty fun. I could just pick your brain on posts. you know, I just so appreciated that you had, you know, the time to take because I know you're gearing up and you're very, very busy. So I'm so honored and appreciated that you came out and shared some of your experiences, your passion, your joy, and just your contributions that you're making and paying it forward to other girls in this industry. Been nice. I know you would have loved seeing and having this, some of these things out there when you were growing up and for that to offer. So it's kind of nice that you've you started to spread your wings and you know, contributing in this way with Songwriter Girl. It's a beautiful thing, and I've been there, and no kidding, girls go away with more benefits than they came with, and so I love that about you. We're going to share one more song. I want you to share a little bit about this song, Kirsty, Your Last Day, before we play it, but we're going to wind up with that.
Well, sure. The song's called My Last Day on Earth. I wrote it with Steve Williams, and, you know, I've written so many songs about life and, you know, what I think about living a life and how to live a life and how I want to live my life. And I don't even remember how we came to write this idea, but I really love this song. And it's been on hold a bunch of times. It's never been cut, but I've cut it. So I guess it's been cut.
Yes,
and,
it's been cut.
and so it's, you know, it's just a song about, you know, another song about living your life. I mean, I just don't think you can ever say that enough to people. I don't think people think enough about the gift of their life and their health and, you know, just not really wasting time on things that that don't feed your soul and or not wasting any time on things that feed your soul, because there are things you can waste time and do, and it really feeds your soul. And so, anyway, there's.
Well, you're a big proponent of that. You know, you're always evolving, always feeding, always nourishing. We're going to wrap it up with this last song. Now, I will probably have the hour coming up, but since it runs a little bit after, I'll definitely post next week's conversation with Jessica Taylor from Triumph Tragedy to Triumph. Please come listen again. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Kirsty, hugs and kisses for joining us today. This is My Last Day with Kirsty Manna, and you can go to songwritergirl.com or kirsty.com for more information. Have an awesome day, everybody.
You too. Love you. Bye-bye.
Okay, hon.
In the Sunday morning paper, the story of his life, a tribute to the man and who he was survived by. 2 weeks from retirement, said he really loved to dance, planned to show his wife the world, but he never got the chance. And I thought time goes by so fast, what would I do with just a pinch of sand left in the hourglass? I catch a red-eye flight to Paris, swing on a road across the green, take a ride downtown and pass that money like it grew on trees. You can bet your life I'd wake up early, but I wouldn't go to work if it was my last day on. Wouldn't run in from the rain, wouldn't be in such a rush, or try to fix what I can't change. I wouldn't when the small stars rise. Get your red-eye flight to Paris, swing on the roof across the sea. Take a ride downtown and pass out money like it grew on trees. You can bet your life I'd wake up early, but I wouldn't go to work if it was my last day on earth. Yeah, yeah. I'd raise my glass and drink a toast to life and all its worth. And I'd forgive myself for anyone I've ever hurt. Take a walk up on a mountain, see a different point of view. If I had a little time, there's so many things I'd wanna do. Get your red-eye flight to Paris, swing on a rope across the creek. Take a ride downtown and pass out money like it grew on trees. You can bet your life I'd wake up early, but I wouldn't go to work if it was my last day, yeah. Get your red-eye flight to Paris, swing on a rope across the creek. Take a ride downtown. You can bet your life I'd wake up early, but I wouldn't go to work. It was my last day on earth.
Oh, that was wonderful. That was Kirsty Manna, My Last Day. You can also find her on Blog Talk Radio. Her blog talk is blogtalkradio.com /songwriter-girl. So be sure to check her episodes out. She's a wonderful, she does interviews and techniques and talks and plays songs, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Thanks, everybody, for joining me in the chat room and for listening to today's program. Next week, I have a wonderful, incredible story with a woman named Jessica Taylor about her personal journey. It's currently in a book called From Tragedy to Triumph, The Reckless Comeback After Experiencing a Traumatic Brain Injury. Till next week, remember, everyone, who you are is more important than any hat or role you wear as a human identity. Be blessed in experiencing your own beloved and radiant divine essence. I am honored that you joined us today. Thank you. Namaste, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.